Welcome back to Studio A on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Isabel Lee, and it's now our final week of the 99th season of Interlochen Arts Camp. This Saturday, the World Youth Symphony Orchestra will be joined by internationally renowned American soprano Renee Fleming at Kresge Auditorium for a concert called Voice of Nature, the Anthropocene. Joining me in Studio A today is the conductor of this Saturday's spectacular, Robert Moody. Robert, welcome to Classical IPR.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
You know, I'm so curious about your work conducting high-profile performers. You've worked with Renee Fleming before, I think. Can you tell us about her and what it's like to work with her?
Sure. And it's a nice part of, the profession that you get to work with these superstars. I feel really lucky. I've been conducting for well over 30 years now, and I've had a chance to conduct, you name it, Yo-Yo Ma several times. It's like Perlman, Van Cliburn, Josh Bell, and Renee more than anyone. We started working together back in 2009, and I really don't think I know the count anymore of how many times we've worked together. But this concert, and especially the first half of this concert, Voice of Nature, the Anthropocene, it's a song cycle. It people will see maybe in the program works by several composers, but it's really just one song cycle, like the Richard Strauss Four Last Songs. And I had the chance to premiere that with Renee a number of years ago. And so I think because I did the world premiere of the work with her, we really became even closer. And we've had a chance now to do this specific piece in Hong Kong, in Toronto, and multiple cities in the United States. It's really enjoyable. I guess I'll say finally back to your question that I used to be really starstruck when I would meet some of these folks and quite nervous. But after a while, you realize they're just also people, you know, and they're looking to have a good, positive musical experience. I think she's going to have a great time. We had our first orchestra our first rehearsal this morning. I think she's going to have a great time with this orchestra. The energy is great, and it'll be a lot of fun.
You know, the theme of the concert, Voices of Nature, is very intriguing to me because in addition to the music, there will be video images from National Geographic to showcase planet Earth. Can you tell us more about that and how the music and multimedia imagery and the collaboration with Renee Fleming, how does all that invoke nature?
Yeah, and all of this started because during COVID lockdown, Renee started spending more time in her garden. So you might mention this to the audience as well, but, you know, COVID happened and everyone was sort of looking for things to do. And she sometimes jokes and says, you know, making sourdough bread was not really my thing. So instead I, you know, started planting a garden. It got her very interested, and she was telling colleagues and friends about her maybe growing interest in things connected to nature. During that time, she worked with Yannick Niguet-Séguin, who's the music director of Philadelphia Orchestra and the Met, and he's also a phenomenal pianist. And that garden came into an idea that the two of them would put together a CD of a collection of songs that were connected to nature. And then it drew on to a little bit of a bigger topic, not just a garden, but more nature and climate and the current climate that we have and the perils, if we're not very, very careful, of losing this precious earth that we have and water and air and gardens. So it became a little bit of both climate in crisis and how can we protect nature. They made a CD. It actually won a Grammy. And then National Geographic learned about this and sort of approached Renee and said, we could make a National Geographic film that would accompany this, which they did. And then I came in when the final step was that Renee decided that it would be great to do this, not just on recitals with one pianist, but to do it with full orchestra. And so the whole thing was put together. Some pieces needed to be orchestrated. Some new works were written, one by Kevin Putz, one by Nico Muli. And then the rest, as you might know, it goes from Handel to Burt Bacharach. I mean, there's a huge variety of music, but everything follows the theme of this is an amazing planet. We are unique, it seems, in the galaxy of having this kind of life-sustaining planet, and let's take good care of it.
It sounds like there's a mix of works that might be familiar to audiences and those that are newer. Tell us about the combination of those works and what that evokes.
Well, and this is one thing I think where I would say both Renee and I are in full agreement that music is music is music. You know, I think only mostly non-musicians worry about genre, whether it's classical or pop or Broadway or jazz or what have you. Great music is great music. And this really does showcase that. It opens with a tune from Appalachia that's really sort of just a very plain sung Appalachian work. It goes right from that into a work by Handel, then into this very 21st century work by Nico Muhly, and then in connected to that, there's also a work by Villa-Lobos. There's this amazing Cantilupe Bailero. There's a movement comes from The Lord of the Rings, because Renee actually sang on the Lord of the Rings soundtrack. And there at the very end, there's an amazing piece by Kevin Putz that sort of wraps up this conversation about nature. And after that, there's sort of an epilogue called Red Mountains Sometimes Cry, and this actually was written by her son-in-law, her daughter's husband, so she's very proud of that song. And then it finishes with What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love, just a good, like, you know, 1970s era pop tune. And I love the fact that Handel and Muhly and Cantilupe and Villa-Lobos and Bacharach are all in one setting, and it's amazing how well it works, even though you might think that sounds like disparate music. It works so beautifully together.
That's so intriguing. How do you lead and structure rehearsals with high school age musicians in preparation to accompany a world-class soloist like that?
Well, first of all, these guys can play. You know, I've had my first rehearsal, and they are phenomenal players. It's my first time to Interlaken. I've heard about Interlaken my entire life. I have a million friends and colleagues who either went here as a camper or who taught here or teach here currently. I am from the Carolinas originally, so I went to a smaller version of Interlaken called the Brevard Music Center, and I'm having a lot of sort of flashback memories from that. I also, for a long time early in my career, conducted a youth orchestra, the Phoenix Symphony Youth Orchestra, for example. So it's not unusual for me to work with college or high school age students. I think that maybe the sort of technical, there is a different way you prepare some things technically or teach some things technically that just need to be learned. But there's an energy that often is greater than, you know, more poignant than the adult professional orchestra. And it's just going to be really fun to harness that energy, add some of the technical elements that I think we can teach, for lack of a better word. And yeah, I think when Renee gets here in a few days, she's going to be mightily impressed.
Did you observe the students' reactions to the range of repertoire for this concert?
Yeah. I mean, we're also playing. So just to say, Voice of Nature, the Anthropocene, is the first half of the concert with the video that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Then there's intermission. After intermission, she does a couple of her most famous arias, Puccini, O mio bambino caro from Gianni Schicchi. She does another set of beautiful Handel arias. Everything else is sort of celebrating the American experience, and she's doing that on purpose because it's 2026. It's 250th birthday of the Declaration of Independence, and those works. The orchestra is going to complement those works by playing John Williams' music from The Patriot, this great movie starred Mel Gibson, based on true accounts of the Revolutionary War, and then an amazing piece by Morton Gould called American Salute, which is completely themed around when Johnny comes marching home, is a big Civil War tune. So you can see there's a great amount of Americana. That's how we started this morning. We started on the American works and sort of the American history works. And then you could see the sort of raised eyebrows and the shifts in students' expressions when we went from that to something like The Diva, which is this very big encore written just for Renee Fleming. And it's very funny. It allows her to sing a lot of high notes. The text, when the audience hears, we'll see she's kind of making fun of, in a loving way, fun of the stereotypical operatic diva. And I could see some students were like, wait, this seems funny. Can I laugh? Can I smile? And, I was encouraging that.
Wow. What impact do you hope this experience will have on the young musicians of the World Youth Symphony Orchestra?
Well, I mean, I two things come to mind. First of all, someone said this to me when I was a teenager, and it has stuck with me for every concert I've done since. You don't always reach the mountaintop in a concert, but you should always strive for the mountaintop. So every single concert, at this moment, the next concert is coming up on Saturday night, and this, let's plan for this to be the most goosebump-inducing, most inspiring concert we've ever put together. So that's the first thing. I imagine that students have an inkling of this while they are here, but I can promise them that these experiences will live with them the rest of their life. Whether they become a professional musician or not, I was a cellist, so I went to a similar summer festival as a cellist when I was a teenager, and I got to play Tchaikovsky's Second Symphony, Prokofiev's Third Piano Concerto. Those are two of my favorite pieces to this day, because of having played them when I was 16 years old at a great festival. And I know firsthand that that's how they will sort of connect. This will always be just an anchor to their connection to music.
And finally, what types of feelings and effects do you hope the audience will have from the performance when they hear at Kresge Auditorium on Saturday?
Oh, I want the audience to feel that they are part of the journey. For me, that's a really important concept. I may say this to the students at, dress rehearsal, that anytime we have a concert, that group of players on stage, that soloist, that conductor, that group in the audience, how many ever people that becomes, 1,000 people or more, that permutation of human beings has never been together in all of human history and will never be together again in that exact configuration. And that kind of statistic blows me away. I think this is truly a unique moment that we have to do something special. And I try in the way that I put together concerts, in the way I conduct, in the way that I will talk to the audience, the way that I interact, I want the audience to feel like they're not just a bystander, but very much part. So I want them to walk away thinking, wow, I was just part of something really amazing. The world's greatest soprano, a phenomenal orchestra, and I, an audience member, got to be a participant in that.
Robert Moody will be conducting the World Youth Symphony Orchestra this Saturday, August 8th at Kresge Auditorium for Voice of Nature, the Anthropocene, featuring soprano Renee Fleming. Robert, thank you so much for coming by Studio A today.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Isabel Lee, and this was Studio A on Interlochen Public Radio.